I was. 7, 8 years ago, I was running. The Lord was working. He said, Faith, he said, you're tired of running. I'm going, no, I'm not. Mm-hmm. One night in my bedroom, hopefully none of y'all know about crack cocaine. I can tell by looking at it, thank the Lord you don't. I smoked $400 worth of crack cocaine within a couple hours. That should have killed me. Never got high. Not one bit. I tell this story to the inmates. They say, oh, you didn't have good crack. I said, I had the best crack dealer Concord ever saw. I had the best savior.
Hallelujah.
Than anyone ever. That night, God showed me. He said, I'm going to show you. Here's your opportunity. I'm going to show you what it is without me. I pray you never know this. He showed me completely. Well, you can be in a room that's dark, but you know there's a glimmer of hope, that light. You know, we know that's who Jesus is. He is our light.
Yes.
He showed me total void of light. Wow. No sound, no light. I couldn't even if I didn't hear myself breathe. He said, this is without me. You choose. I threw it up. I surrendered right
yes.
then.
Hallelujah.
People say you can't surrender. You know, you can't quit drugs and alcohol. He took it away. I didn't have to quit.
That's right. Amen.
He took away the addiction.
That's right.
I tell the inmates this. I said, I quit crack cocaine, alcohol, and cigarettes the same instant.
That's right. Amen.
Because I hear people, I've got an ex-wife out here in the world who says, I can't quit. I said, yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
You haven't, they have. I tell the guys, I said, you haven't done nothing that I have not done. I said, you know, they relate with me because I was in prison, in case you didn't know. I went to prison back in 1997. Cause on a faithful night, like I said, I should have died this one night. I was drunk, behind the wheel, going to my apartment, got across 85, and luckily, the Lord was with me. When I hit this woman's van, remember when the minivans just had the black strip around the bumper? I took that off her car. That's all I did. When I got to my apartment 2 blocks away, couldn't figure out why I couldn't get out. The dash was sitting on my lap of my car. I totaled my Pontiac. I should have been killed. God had a better plan for me.
Yes,
so I tell these gentlemen this when I'm in prison. I tell anybody this, whether I'm working, wherever I get a chance, I tell people my testimony because it ain't mine, it's the Lord's.
That's right.
Now this is what he has done for me.
Amen.
And some, like you said, some will see it. You can see that glimmer of hope. Then you see the ones who they confess it with their mouths, but not with their hearts.
Right.
The Lord laid that on me. He showed me that scripture the other day because I think I told the other guys, Wednesday night's also my recharging night. Thank you, Tammy and Reed. And where I've come to them with problems. Here about a month ago, about a gentleman who knew for sure when he was going out, he found God. Everybody finds God in prison. They lose him the second they walk out the gate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I did too. I found God back again, you know, back when I was in prison. I knew God was with me. Yes, Lord, Mama, yeah, I'm going to change. I'm going to see my wife, my ex-wife, my kids. I'm coming to see you. My brother picked me up in Mount Pleasant Prison. First place I did, I went and got me a beer. I forgot about God when I hit the gate.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that's what a lot of these guys do. This one guy, he's talking about, when I get out, I know I'm not going to drink anymore. You got a plan? Yeah, I got a plan. So you go work. You know, we talk about the 12-step program. And 12-step program is a faith-based program. But they don't like to say God. They say God, whoever your higher power is, well, God is the higher power.
Amen.
This one gentleman said, well, I got God with me. He's going to help me. And his wife, who had not, he's been in county jail for over 2 years. Where's your wife been? Oh, she's a crack addict, heroin addict. I said, come see you? No, she's got better things to do. Okay? But this is who he's going to rely on when he gets out. I'm saved, I'm changed, and she's coming with me. I'm like, she ain't been here in 2 years. What do you think she's going to do when you come out?
That's right.
Oh, she doesn't know. She's not. I said, you got to worry about yourself. You got to accept
right.
Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
There you go.
He said, well, you know, he won't let her die. I said, that's her salvation. It's her problem. You got to worry about yourself.
That's right.
But this is what I see when I go in there. When I first started doing this, this is something the Lord worked on me years ago. When I was in prison, you know, all the counselors said, Jack, you will be good as a counselor when you get out. When I got out,
yeah, right.
Didn't even think about nobody else except myself. Didn't think about my ex-wife. I had the opportunity to get back with my ex-wife. I'd rather smoke crack cocaine. Had a chance to be with her and my children. I'd rather smoke crack cocaine and alcohol. Unfortunately, before my wife, well, I call her my wife, even though we divorced a year before she passed away. She was my best friend. I never realized it. You know, I was saved back then, but I wasn't living the life, but the Lord was working in me. And I look back and I see, you know, different stages in my life, how he was always there. And he said, look, what you gave up because of life of sin. Still didn't impress me. And then as I've journeyed, I can tell y'all so many stories. Told you, Reed, get me up here. You know, the Lord works in our lives in so many different ways if you open your eyes and see it.
Amen. That's right.
You know, I was talking about how the Lord has saved me from crack cocaine, alcohol, and all that. One example. I had a scooter. Remember my scooter I had? All right, story on that one. Now I'll get to another one. I told you, I got it. Lord, you know, once I opened my eyes, I saw everything he's done. That scooter, I saw the guy who had it, had $700. I had $200. This is what, 2015? It was back in 2003. I was at my son's house, my oldest boy, for the annual birthday party for me and my ex-mother-in-law. We got the same birthdays. I hadn't mentioned nobody except my ex-sister-in-law. I said, talk about the scooter. Guy wanted $700. All I got is $200. Didn't say nothing to nobody else. Well, I went home that afternoon. My son took me home, and my older brother showed up, as tradition. We talked about, my older brother is a child of God. He is a great minister. He's running away. I think he ought to be a minister, but he doesn't think he should be, but that's another story. You know, so we talked. He got ready to leave, gave me a birthday card, and he took off. All right. Moped was $700. I had $200. There was a check in there for $500. I didn't say nothing to my brother. The only person who knew that was my sister-in-law and God. That was the money.
More than that.
And after I get the scooter, I'm at my mother's house. Y'all know I always love going to my mom's house. Well, normally, I have one of them illegal scooters. You know, that's 55, 60 miles an hour. When it's supposed to be tagged. I didn't care. Normally, I come down 29. You know, hauling butt. Well, she lives on Central. He said no. You're going to go down and go on Church Street. I'm like, man, I'm going to get in all that traffic, but I gave in to the, you know, the Holy Spirit. Got on Church Street coming down here in Concord, my back tire blew. If I'd been on the highway like I normally did, I'd have wrecked. I got killed. He saved me so many times. So this, you know, I tell people my, you know, the testament the Lord has given me through his salvation in my life. And like I said, you see guys here in prison, because this is just our, you know, I truly believe this is just the beginning of it.
Amen.
You know, he got doors opening up. Once you talked to me about the other week, about the discipleship and that college course, and this is all that's just been in my, you know, what the Lord has given me. There's still a different type of ministry he's wanting me. He's wanting me to reach these, the hopeless. Because I think they're not without hope. There's hope there. They just got to find it.
Amen.
We see them up and down on Cabarrus Avenue, up around the library. They're all sitting there. I've had that look in my eyes. I get home, you know, I get home from work after I had that first 12-pack of beer. Well, it was about time my crack girl to get here, but I'd look in the mirror. I'd see no hope. There's that emptiness.
Yeah.
And I see all these people out here without hope. I see them at my work. And y'all see them too.
Yeah.
No matter where we go, there's always those people. So the Lord's laid on me to be, go out there to be a disciple. Now, he didn't call us to be saved, he called us to be a disciple. Get up here, Robert. Get stopwatch out, Reed.
Praise God.
So keep me in your prayers that he just continues to fulfill his ministry in and through me.
Praise God.
That is awesome. Don't get away from
it. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to agree. See, I don't know none of this, but I'm agreeing. This is just the beginning.
It is.
This is just the beginning.
Yep.
The anointing of God. Stretch your hands up here. Father, we thank you right now for the calling and the gifts that you have put within my brother Jack. And Lord, deep calls to deep. Lord, deep calls to deep. Father, we're calling, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We're calling that deep, those deep things, Lord, that are revealed to him by the Spirit of God. Lord, that he will see things by the Spirit of God in these individuals' lives, and he will be able to speak those words that they'll be only, how did you know that? And he gets to tell them about Jesus. Because Jesus knows the intents and the thoughts of the hearts. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that the obedience that Jack has took, this journey he has taken, Lord, he knows it's not by him. It's not by anything he's doing. It's all by your grace. So, Father, Holy Spirit, we thank you, Lord, that you teach him and direct him and show him. And he is protected in all his endeavors, that the devil is defeated. And we're laughing at him right now because he was laughing at Jack while he was high. Now we're laughing at the devil because you are under his feet. And Jesus has brought Jack up to this high place. And he has empowered him with the gospel of good news that he's going to help others, Lord, to come to know you. Amen. Glory to God. Can you walk?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're going to be able to stand in that anointing. And others will not be able to stand, Jack. They're going to go down underneath that power. Hallelujah. Because it takes power. Jack knows it takes power to get delivered from that stuff. God's power. Hallelujah. You'll stand, but they won't. But they're going to come up different. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Where was I going to go after that? Just a few. I ain't going to keep you long. Discuss none of this with Jack. You know what the title of my message is? God's message? Making it through trouble. Making it through trouble. Hosea 4, 6 and 7. Hosea. We want to sing Hosanna right now, but we're looking at Hosea. Keep Hosanna in your thought pattern. But look at Hosea. Hosea is right before the book of Joel. Right at the very end of the old covenant. Chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. This is God's charge to Israel, against Israel. I don't think we do justice unless we go back and start at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. That's worth bringing a charge. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint. With bloodshed upon bloodshed, therefore the land will mourn. And everyone who dwells there will waste away. The beasts of the field, the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night. And I will destroy your mother. This is a curse. Verse 6. Hosea 4, 6 and 7. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, says God. Is that the end of the... Let's keep reading. Why are they destroyed? They're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Does that mean the knowledge was not there? Read the next verse. Because you have rejected knowledge. You're going fishing, Jack. Some's going to take the bait and some's going to reject it. Keep going fishing. See, you're a prophet. You're taking the Lord's word and you're prophesying. You're speaking. You're declaring. You're not accountable with what they do. You're accountable with what you do, with what you know. And that goes for all of us. I also will reject you from being priests for me because they rejected him. Because you have forgotten the law of your Lord. See, that's exactly what Jack was saying. God never forgot him, but he had forgotten the word. And he turned his back on God. Doesn't mean God didn't love him, but he was in the curse now. Subject to the curse. But God was right there as soon as he turned around. God holds us accountable to what we know, to the light that we have. The entrance of God's Word brings light. Okay? Open the door. Jesus said, I am the door. The entrance of His Word brings light. Jesus is knocking. He's not opening. We're the ones that's got to open the door. Open the door. Let the light come in. Just because we do not understand something does not mean we have to give up on it. Right? See, we don't know everything. We know here, there, here a little, there a little. But we have a choice to act upon what we know or not. Walk in the light as He is in the light. We're going to have trouble. It's on every side, every shore. We're not going to... People of faith, and I was in this at one time, you got to be careful. We don't deny trouble. Right? We can't say, if we're having trouble, we can't say, oh, I ain't got no trouble. No, you can't deny that. That's foolishness. Faith is taking the Word of God, taking the light that you have, and declaring, I'm coming through this trouble because of Jesus. I'm following Jesus. Jesus had trouble. He was the Son of God. If He's going to have trouble, you're going to have trouble. I'm going to have trouble. 1 John 1 and 7. Talk about trouble. People write songs about trouble. Make money about those songs. And stay in trouble. Surround themselves with friends that like to stay in trouble and drink with them and take your money and talk about all the trouble. Write songs about it. 1 John 1 and 7. I just quoted that. You ain't got to go there. Walk in the light as He is in the light. That's what Jack said. There's darkness, but there's light. Amen. There's always light. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the earth, there's light. Follow me. Listen to me. What am I saying? What am I doing? Follow me, guys. We're talking about discipleship. This is where the church has missed it. We're teaching on Wednesday night. I'm going to get him some teaching because this is what the world needs to hear. They go to prison. They come to God. What they're doing, they're coming to the fact that this is the only thing I got is God and work that I do here in the prison. I haven't been locked up, but he's just giving a testimony. They say they know God, but their heart is far from Him. They know about God. But Jesus said, walk with me. I don't have a place to lay my head. I don't have a place to sleep tonight that I know of, but God does, and He's leading me. Somebody's going to take me in, then I'll have somewhere to lay down. So he didn't know all that, but he knew God. He knew his Father. And he knew He had provided for him as a youngster. Because wise men came to him, brought their... Not three wise men, it says wise men. You were wise men and women today because you brought a gift unto the Lord. See, that gift is still coming to Jesus. He's still receiving those gifts. And he took them. He left to heaven, and he left all the gifts that he had. As he left, I give everything that I have. I give it to Jack. I give it to Terry, to Larry, to Reed, to Rob. All those gifts that he had, he emptied himself and went back to heaven, and left us his gifts.
Thank you, Lord.
For others, it's for the church. Psalm 66 and 12. We're going to go between old and new. Old and new. Psalm 66 and 12. You know, I thank God that He put some messages together, because I can sit there at night after all this party, all everything we did yesterday, and I got home, and it's like, man, this don't sound good. Just what I had, but it's right. It's God.
Right.
It's just what we needed to hear. And I'm like, no, it sounds like me. It sounds like I just put something real quick, but it's God. Because when I went to school, I didn't do outlines. I didn't do research papers. I did what I wanted to do. I was self-righteous. I was having fun. Thank God my kids are more disciplined than I was. Because, why? Light. Light. Deep calls to deep. Mama didn't want them to do the same thing that we were doing. She was smart. She's smarter than I am. Y'all know that, don't you? Make sure y'all tell her that I said that. She did my bug collection. She did my rock collection. I'm like, yes, ma'am, go, sister. But she got the grade. I didn't. You know what I mean? See, she was great on it. I wasn't. I failed. But God, Jack, Jock, he saw me too. Psalm 66 and 12. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but you brought us out to a wealthy place. We went through the fire and we went through the water. Trouble. See, so my brother, he's got a Harley too. He said he had his whole brake foot pedal well broke off with him the other day. Trouble. It's about 20 pounds on a Harley, custom Harley. 20 pounds. He just had it and then didn't have it. Brakes. And it was dragging. He said he about wrecked. But he was sitting in his church pew yesterday. Cause trouble can't hold a candle to Jesus and his mercy. Because he's committed his life to the Lord, I'm pretty sure. He ain't all there yet, Jack, but the Lord's trying to get him a little bit further. And he's working on him. Some of us takes us a little bit longer. We're a little bit deeper project. A challenge. Some of us might be more challenging to God than others. All right. We went through the fire and we went through the water. But God is bringing us to a wealthy place. You're going to have trouble. Every child, counting me when I was a child, I didn't have this. But every child, that's Boorsville High School's theme. Help me, Kelsey. Every child, every day. God says every child should have an opportunity to grow up in a place of peace. Every child. Because they're His kids. They came from heaven with the Spirit. Okay? It wasn't their choice that sin, they would have the sin nature. But it's God's choice that He sent Jesus. So they would have that choice. And as parents, godly parents, we've got to give them that choice. We need to give them that choice. I didn't have that. A place of peace and stability in a godly home. That's God's desire for the family, for the church, for His family. He hasn't changed. And He loved us so much that He sent Jesus to change it so that they could have it. 1 Corinthians 7. Going to have trouble. I'm not making a negative confession. I'm just telling you what Jesus said, what the Word says. We're going through the fire and we're going through water, but we're not going through it alone.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 7. And one thing is knowing, where is the trouble coming from? Where is it not coming from? Can I get a... It's not coming from God. That's what I wanted to hear. The world don't want to tell you that. The world, because they don't know who God is. 1 Corinthians 7, but we're going to show them. Through discipleship, we're going to make more... We're not just going to make converts. We're going to show Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses. We're going to show them God. We're going to show them Jesus. In this last move on this earth, they're going to see Jesus again. Amen. Walking and living and breathing into church. True church. We got a part to play. Can't get there. Verses 7, 27, and 28. Chapter 7, 27, 28. Now, Paul was talking about marriage here. But I'm talking about you're going to have trouble. And I'm going to show you, it ain't just marriage. It's trouble. Period. Paul says, are you bound to a wife? ? Do not be loosed. In other words, are you married? Don't separate. Are you loose from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. In other words, if you're married, divorced, and you remarriage, you haven't sinned. Because God is greater than your heart. What did I just talk about up here? Now, I'm not for divorce. I'm telling you, God is love. He's going to love you whatever choice you make. He wants you to take the best road, but He is there with you on the road. Amen. No matter how bad we get, Jack, He is there. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. He's not going to lie. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, either way, such will have trouble. Trouble. Where? In the spirit? In the flesh. I can't help you there. I got trouble in my flesh. I can't lay hands on you and say, trouble be gone. It might help for a little bit, might give you a shot, but it's coming back. Because unless I say, take them, Jesus, take them out of here, you're going to have trouble in the flesh. And devil is a flesh devil. And he loves your flesh. He loves it. He wants to see it destroyed. He wants to see it put in the fire. Jesus said the thief comes not but for... He wants to destroy your flesh. God saved your flesh. Amen. But you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to crucify your flesh. Yeah. Jesus, if he had to do it, you're going to have to do it, Terry. I'm going to have to do it. As Christians, we're deceiving ourselves. I said as Christians, we're deceiving ourselves if we think we're not going to have trouble in the flesh. And we can't pray it away. We can't confess it away, the Scriptures. We've got to build ourselves up, and we've got to crucify that flesh. God's not going to crucify it for us. Jesus had to make that choice to go to that cross. God the Father didn't go there for him. He was there for him, but Jesus had to lay his will down and said, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. It was, of course, they had already decided, but I'm saying Jesus had trouble in the flesh. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he had trouble. And when you're having the biggest trouble in your life, don't depend on your friends. Depend on God, Jesus. I'm not saying don't forget about them, but a lot of times when trouble comes, people want to get away from you. Fast, run. Look at Joseph in prison. Where's his brothers at? He was just speaking the truth. He was trying to help them. Cost him. He got in trouble. Deep trouble. But he had a dream from God. Jack? It was a God-given dream. But he was lacking a little bit of wisdom. I think we could agree there. It cost him some areas, but God never forgot him. The dream was... Your dreams do not have expiration dates. Amen. No expiration dates on your dreams. Joseph is a prime example. And your dream is bigger than you. Amen. It's a God-given dream. It's got to be bigger than me. This is bigger than I ever thought I'd be, Jack. I believe I'd be standing here. But then I had to... But God said, I've called you to minister. And I'm letting him call me to those ministries. See, I'm in this office of the pastor, but I'm letting God call me and step me, take my steps. Sometimes I want to run, put the reins on. No, I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what God wants me to do. And I'm having trouble. y'all are in here with me too, right? We got trouble. But that ain't the end of the story. Define trouble in the Greek. You can define it probably without the Greek. Oh, Lord, I was going to bring my computer in here. Let me just tell you. Somebody tell me what trouble is. Come on. Stress.
Hardship.
Trouble. Bill paying time. Trouble. If you don't have the money in the bank. You know, you got more than enough. You don't have no trouble, right?
Yeah.
In that area.
That's right.
But look out. There's going to be trouble waiting somewhere. The kids wrecked the car. I'm not confessing things. I'm just saying here's trouble. Car blows up. Tire blows out. Trouble. But if you've been preparing, you got a little bit of nest egg put back. Got AAA. We'll get through this thing. I got a message on AAA one day. Y'all want to hear it? It's on my phone. I had to go get it. Anywhere, anything, anytime. AAA. That's God's AAA service. Y'all like that? Anything, anywhere, anytime. Why do we have trouble? The Bible tells us we got flesh. Paul tells us because of this flesh. Matthew 12:25. And we're getting close to the end here. Dallas, go to college. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have some professors you ain't had before. Some of them are going to be God sent. Some of them are going to be trouble. Kelsey could verify that. Friends. New acquaintances, you're going to have trouble. Daniel, he's telling you about it. Trouble. Matthew 12, verse 25. Jesus had trouble because of the devil. It says, now when the, verse 24, now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, in other words, Jesus is out here teaching, says, this fella does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, which is the prince of the demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to what? Desolation. Destruction. Destroy. And every city or house divided against itself, is it going to stand strong?
Yes.
It's going to fall. It's going to crumble. Jesus said this. I'm not saying this. Jesus is the truth. Every house. He didn't say just, well, if this brother's confessing over here that he ain't, but he's got trouble. No, he said every house. My house, your house, the politician's house, the White House, the big house, going to have trouble. The devil is always looking to get a wedge between us, whether that be husband and wife, whether it be the pastor in the congregation, in the church, whether it be your spouse, your employer, employee. The devil's always trying to get a wedge, a division, because that's the difference between you staying in the wilderness and getting into the promised land, is the devil. Will we obey God and do what Jesus said to do? See, we don't have to stay in trouble.
That's right.
We don't have to stay there. I like how Jesse turned this around. I love this. I'm still praying on this to really get the full revelation. But, you know, questions we get as Christians. Why does good things happen to bad people? Heard that question before? Well, if God's so good, why is this happening to his child? Jesse takes it and reverses it. Because he knows God. And he knows the Bible. He knows what happens when they put Jonah in that well. Well, when the whale took Jonah, God knew the ending and where he was going. So Jesse says, why does bad things happen to good people? Jesse says, good people happen to bad stuff. See, you take a good person, a God person that knows Jesus, and put him in a bad situation. What did Pastor Jim say to Kelsey in Dallas yesterday? If you were here, he said, the cream always rises to the top. God, arise. His enemies be. Let God arise and his enemy be. Let God arise in you. Trouble. Let God arise. Where'd the trouble go? That one's over. Now you get to dance a little bit, but the next one's coming, so keep dancing. But keep studying, right? Hallelujah. Let God arise. Trouble. Don't let the devil get a wedge. That's kind of funny. Rowan, like, give him a wedgie. I like that. I think we could preach on that. Just give the devil a wedgie and say, and kick him a couple times. Because his name's on the bottom of your shoe. And watch him run naked in terror. Because the Bible says he'll flee in terror. You submit yourselves to God and resist him. He has to flee. It means he has to run in terror. Because he wants to get a wedge between us, our relationships with one another, so he can destroy our lives. That's his goal. And he's good at it. That's what he does. And he's not quitting until he's in his place. Anybody tell me where that's going to be? A lake of fire. He's going through the fire. He ain't getting out. We getting out. See, we go through the fire, we get out. Because God is not in the fire. He's greater than the fire. He's not in the fire. He's not in the wind. He's not in the earthquake. He's in you. He's that small, still voice on the inside of you saying, you are more than a conqueror. You are, what was the scripture you opened us up with, Terry? 1 John 5:4. Yeah. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith, not in us, but in God. Right. Have faith in God, because this is the victory. God's going to get us out. He has us out. We just got to hit the exit sign. We got to make sure we go out without smelling like smoke. The number one argument between one another is trouble. Who's right, Cecil? Who's right? Maudie, Boo? Now, just because you're single, I'm sure Maudie and Boo's back there, they got trouble. They go to the Wendy's. They can't decide whether they want a small frosty or they want a large Frosty. Trouble. Maudie's like, well, I wonder how much Boots has got in her pocketbook right now. Boots is saying, you get the large one today. Be believing God for the big ones. Y'all can split it if it's too much. Trouble. That's a trouble. That's a question mark right there. They just might walk in there one day as many times they've been in. That might not cost them anything. They might have thought they had trouble till they walk around and say, today is on, it's senior day. Senior day. Have it. Be expecting that. God's faithful. The number one question, argument, who's right? Who is right? God's right. His word is right. It means I'm not right all the time. And then we have to bring in that ugly word we don't like to hear. Submit. Submit yourselves unto God. And then I got to submit to some other people. Some of them people, I don't like the flesh they're wearing today. I didn't like what he said to me. I didn't like that politician, what he said about my God. Who's right? God's right. And the devil, bad English, ain't got it right. The devil's not. Choose this day, God said, who you would serve. We must stay on the side of love. There's your side to choose. Love. Not who's right. They might be totally wrong. That's when you got to say love. I'm going to stay on the side of love because I'm going to do what I got to do. I can only do what I can do. Jesus, he said, love them. Bless them. Even though they curse me, he said, bless them. And we'll end at James 3:14. And I'm going to get you out just a little bit later. But you needed to close out with this. James 3, and we know this, but we need to know it. Don't think that we don't have to keep reminding ourselves about the word. James 3:14. Just look at verse 13. You got heavenly wisdom, and then you got devilish wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Question mark. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness. Meekness. Miss Tammy talked about meekness. That fruit of the Spirit. You got to do it in the Spirit. In the Spirit of love. Meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and self-seeking, there we go back to self-seeking again, that self-seeking righteousness in your hearts, do not boast and lie. Don't deceive yourself against the truth. That wisdom that's envying and strife and self-righteous, verse 15, it does not descend from above. Well, there's only one place it's coming from then. If it ain't coming from above, it's coming from beneath. But it's earthly, sensual, and it's going to feel good to your flesh to cuss her back out because she cussed you. See, that's your flesh. It wants to feel good. That's not from God. That's not God's wisdom. That's the devil. It's demonic. It just says it's earthly, it's demonic. 16, for where envying and self-seeking, or you can say strife, confusion exists, and every evil thing are there. Folks, we don't want to be there. That's trouble. Trouble, trouble. Trouble. And if you're there, leave. I'm just going to say it simple. Leave. Jack left that crack. He left that high, and he went to another high. He went to the Most High. Come on now. He went to the Most High and set him free from that trouble. Now Jack is helping others get out of trouble. If they will. If they choose. He's giving them a choice. He's giving them light. Here's the light, guys. Man, you've been in darkness. Here's the light. Here's your ticket out. Because God's wisdom says it's from above and it's first. It is pure peace. Pure. Peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. And I love this yield. Helping somebody to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Get them to yield. Just tell them you need to yield to the Holy Spirit. Think about driving out there on the highway. What happens when you come up to a yield sign? Do you merge? Is that the same as yielding? Merging is you just come right in there. Yield, you're looking and you're stopping. And you're making sure. You're yielding the right of way. That's what we have to do to the Holy Spirit. Yield to His right. Give Him the right and let the way maker, Jesus, come in. Yield to the right of way. That'll help somebody. And then he inspires you to speak in new tongues. He inspires you to operate in gifts of the Spirit. So that's yielding to Him, not to yourself. So how do we get rid of that trouble? Strife is evident that division is working. That's the devil's wisdom. Strife, envy, confusion, every evil work. Strife is the atmosphere of hell. And we can all agree, because I've been there, being brought up in a house. And I'm just, you know, that was my past, but I can still say, I can bring it right into my house. A lot of times, all you got to do is turn the TV on. Jerry Springer is a big atmosphere of hell. I can't believe people pay to watch that. I mean, I guess I used to. I shouldn't say I can't believe, because I used to be there. Garbage. Strife, full of strife. All it is. And people are paying money for that, letting it in the house. That's the atmosphere. And it's deceiving. It's subtle, but it'll come in. The devil will try to wipe you out. Strife is evident. Division is working. Peace is evident that love is working. That means God is working in you. It ain't going to be easy when you got trouble, but we need to yield to the Holy Ghost, yield to the Word of God, and there comes the power. The power, and I'm just going to finish here, and I'm looking at myself to shut my mouth. Because that's saying what God says. A lot of times you just got to shut my mouth, and I'm going to the back room. I'll be right back. Pick up my word and go have a little come to Jesus meeting. Sometimes you can't pick up your Bible. You just got to pick your butt up and get up out of that office and say, Lord, you have sent me here to grace this supervisor. I'm going to go back here and I'm going to pray in tongues. You just got to do what you got to do to get out of trouble. Jesus ain't going to... Peter was in trouble. Jesus told him, trouble was coming, Peter. Oh no, Lord, we won't forsake you. We're here to fight. Trouble came. They took Jesus. Peter cussed him 3 times. I never knew the man. Trouble. He didn't have the Holy Ghost yet, but he was coming. Holy Spirit was coming. Help, the helper was coming. Help was on the way. But until then, he did have the word. He heard wisdom. He had light. Peter had light. He had light, but he chose to walk away from that light at that time. Now, I'm not going to condemn Peter, because I probably would have did the same thing. But it was possible. He had the wisdom of God. It had been spoken to him. Jesus told him, you're going to deny me 3 times. So it was going to happen. Jesus already knew that outcome. But he knew. He knew Peter's heart. And he knew Peter would come back. First message, Terry, his first message, he got 3,000 born again. Something bigger than you, Jack. I don't know how many men are in that jail, but God can lay them all out and raise them up by His Spirit. The words you speak, empowered by the Holy Ghost, look for a jailbreaking. I ain't talking about them. I ain't talking about them running and drinking. I'm talking about they're free in the prison. They broke free from those chains. Because Jesus said, did you visit me when I was in prison? Jack can say, yes, I did. Amen. And Jesus is saying, I'm well pleased, Jack. Don't get discouraged when you see those that walk away from you, spit at you, give you the sign language. You probably know what that is. You can come back with peace, brother. The peace of God. Let it rule in your heart by Christ Jesus. Love them. Love them to Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. I preached myself happy this morning.